Good morning to the fellowship at Grace, coming to you on this Thursday morning, May the 7th, a beautiful sunny spring day, and I trust this day finds each of you under God's grace, living in obedience, faithful to the responsibility and charge He's given you, and trusting in His grace in all those areas and all those many ways that we fall short. We're in the middle of a Q&A section concerning COVID at home. And if you've been keeping up, we talked last week about parenting. We talked Tuesday about marriage, both of you together. And then yesterday, each of you, starting with husbands. And today, our intention is each of you wives. And where we are in Scripture to try to answer this is 1 Peter and chapter 3. So if you'll find your Bible or your device, but find 1 Peter chapter 3, you'll remember yesterday those first six verses we said address wives specifically. Then verse 7 that we looked at yesterday addresses husbands. So both of you together, the aspect of marriage that we talked about on Tuesday, I might say even the universal aspect of marriage. And we've been really careful to note the universal principles that apply to relationships among believers, surely, but also in the world. The reality of believers living as sheep among wolves. And as we do that, as we focus on relationships, universal principles, and by that I mean Christian principles that apply to all Christians, what always rises to the top as it regards relationships is the principle of submission. And I want to do this, and maybe a discipline that you'll learn. When you speak about submission, try this. I learned this from Dr. John Piper. Don't speak of it as a principle or a dogma of submission, but rather as the virtue of submission. It is that essential to Christian living. And here's how it works. First of all, as Christians, we submit to Christ. We do that lovingly, gladly. And through that, we're obedient to His will and His way in our lives. And we remember this, even as we do that, that the Bible teaches us that Christ submits to His Father. Now, that's a bit of a Trinitarian mystery, but it's also a biblical certainty. Not an eternal submission, but certainly an earthly submission while He was here in His ministry, and even as Christ lives today and for all eternity in a glorified human body. There's the ongoing submission that the Bible wants to remind us of to the will of the Father, even as we know that that will is inseparable from His own will. And again, we won't go too deep there. But to see that, so that you don't go off in a ditch, I'm really only saying what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. You don't have to turn over there, but you know this. He writes there, Christ is the head of every man, and God is the head of Christ. And that's not to divide the Trinity, but it is to enforce, to illustrate the divine, eternal, and non-negotiable principle of submission that is both woven into the very fabric of creation and, as such, is an expression of an aspect of the divine Godhead. And that's why I think it's good to call it a virtue, because it's also seen in Christ, the virtue of submission. And it applies to everyone, and it applies and works out in every single relationship, no exceptions. So Peter, in our text, makes that clear, and he repeats it for clarity. So look there, if you're in 1 Peter, not yet in chapter 3, but back up to chapter 2, he says to us in verse 11, all of us, that we live as aliens and strangers. And while doing that, verse 12, we're supposed to keep our behavior excellent among those in the world. So in other words, excellent behavior in our relationships to all people. Verse 13 then, he says, like this, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And that section there, verse 13 through 17, is submit yourselves to government. Verse 17 says, honor, love, the fear of God. Just so you're understanding, it's essential Verse 18, he says it applies in the marketplace. It applies in the workplace. It even applies in a slave context, which is what he uses to illustrate it. Notice he says, verse 18, be submissive with all respect, meaning not a begrudging sort of submission, but a glad submission. And he adds, no matter the perspective of the master. Peter says it very clearly. We are gladly submissive in all respects, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. And then he says, verse 19, that finds favor. Do you see it? That finds favor. Ask yourself this question. What is it that finds favor with God? It is the reality of glad submission while suffering unjustly. In fact, it just assumes that. Suffering is assumed. Why? Well, essential Christian principle. All who desire to live godly lives will suffer. It's an essential aspect of what it means to be a Christian. It's just a given. And Peter has already assumed that in this letter. Flip over just quickly to chapter 1. Look at verse 3 again. He's talking about what God has done. What God has done to all of us as believers. We have all been born again. We all have a living hope. We all have this eternal promise of an inheritance. Look at verse 5. We all have the present protection by the power of God. Verse 6. We all have this constant joy. Notice now, even though, and even when you are distressed. So please note, and there's a lot here, and I know I should hurry, but note, he says, even if necessary. Necessary for what? Verse 7, to prove your faith. I might say it this way, if you reached out and grabbed the apostolic instruction around this idea, here's what we know. All who live godly lives, all Christians will suffer unjustly. They will suffer, albeit maybe for a season, and maybe the season is this life. But they will do that because it is necessary, Peter is saying, to prove their faith. Paul would say necessary to strengthen their faith. All right, so back to chapter 2, the idea of submission. Now here's the key. We talked about this yesterday to the husbands. Husbands honor their wives because of God. They honor their wives because of what God has done in saving her. They honor their wives because, first, of what God has done in calling her to Himself. He redeemed her. He bought her with a price. She belongs to Him. She is precious. She is royalty. All of that Peter is talking about when he talks about the husband's need to honor their wife in that relationship. Remember, she's a vessel. She's a vessel because all that God has done. She's a vessel, therefore, fit for honor because of who God is. Now, in the same way, that's how we as Christians honor and submit to all of those who are over us, even when they abuse us, even when they cause us suffering, because we see them as God's instruments, as God's servants, deacons, the Apostle Paul calls them in Romans 13. You see, in reality, Christians, we can do this because we know the honor isn't due them. The honor is due Him. And that is so essential to the Christian. So here's another way of saying this as it regards believers. Here's what Paul says. Very, very important. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. He says there in verse 14, the love of Christ controls us. And then verse 15, we no longer live for ourselves. So listen to that, Christian. The love of Christ now controls us, having been born again, indwelt by His Spirit, and we no longer live for ourselves. Therefore, verse 16, and maybe you turned over there. You ought to see this and underline it. I'll give you a moment to turn over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. The love of Christ controls us, verse 15. We no longer live for ourselves, verse 16. Therefore, now watch this, underline this. From now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Now, what does that mean? What's Paul saying? What Paul is saying is since he became a Christian, since we became a Christian, we no longer evaluate human beings according to the worldly, fleshly standards. No, now we see all men in the light of the plan of God. We see all human beings as it regards the purpose of God. They're being instruments of God. God using all of them to work in my life. Listen, you will never, Christian, and of course the Christian wife, you will never understand and apply submission unless you get your heart around what Christ has done for you and what Christ is doing in and around you. Until you get your heart around the reality of His sovereignty, that God is the one who designed the principle of submission. God is the one whose own character manifests the virtue of submission. And when you get your head and heart around that, then you'll begin to learn how to submit with joy, to submit never with a grudge, to submit never with a huff, to submit never with a rebellious or resentful attitude. Why? Because we see God in it. That is the root that motivates the honor of all things, even the most difficult things, that is an essential virtue of what it means to be a Christian. All right, we have to hurry now to the wives, but we won't finish this today, and I can tell you now by the time we won't even get to the wives today. But if you'll go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, look again, verse 13 through 17, submit and honor those authorities in government that God has placed over you. Verse 18 through 21, submit and honor those managers and other authorities in your life, in the marketplace, in the classroom, on the playground, and it will include suffering, and your submission in suffering finds favor. Your submission when there is no suffering finds no favor. Look at verse 20. In fact, he says it. What credit is there, number one, if you suffer because you deserve it? There's no credit in that. And number two, but if you do good and don't suffer, well, there's no credit in that either. The credit comes when you do good by submitting and you suffer for it. That's when the credit comes. It's the credit that comes with all obedience. It's the credit and the blessing that comes with living in our Christian life the way Christ lived as an example. And you can see it there. Just keep reading. Look at verse 21. Look what he says. You've been called for this purpose. Christian, this is your calling. This is your purpose. Now, stop. Ask yourself, what is? Well, I can't emphasize this enough because Peter can't emphasize this enough. And you might be thinking, well, enough already. No. Watch, what is the calling of every Christian? The purpose of every Christian, right here in Peter's context, that they would submit with suffering, that they would suffer while they submit. And Peter is simply saying, that's your calling, Christian. That's your purpose. And Christ is your example. Look at it, verse 21, He left you an example for you to follow in His steps. What example did He leave? Middle of verse 21, the example of His suffering for you. His suffering through submitting to the will of God. His, verse 22, suffering even though He didn't deserve it. There was no sin in Him. There was no deceit in His mouth. Verse 23, His being reviled for you as an example. And He never reviled back. He suffered for you as an example. He uttered no threats in return as an example. He kept entrusting Himself to His Father. He kept, watch, while suffering, submitting. He kept submitting to His Father, even as He submitted to all the authorities around Him who were mistreating Him and reviling Him and threatening Him and ultimately crucifying Him. And watch, for the Christian in this life, by that submission, through that suffering, came real relationship. Our relationship with Christ. And then through that, our relationship with everybody else. I just don't know that there is a more important Christian principle as it regards our sanctification and therefore our relationships with everyone in this life than the virtue of submission. And so many Christians, these past weeks especially, under this imposition, we might call it, of the government, who is far and away, for the most part, acting in the best perceived or in the perceived best interest of the society that they're called to govern. They certainly have been acting in the best interest of the most vulnerable in our society. Yet I've watched and I have grieved while for these many weeks so many Christians have constantly expressed their grievances, constantly expressed their begrudging, constantly expressing not honor and glad submission, even in imposition, but rather expressing insult and dishonor. Let me just say this. I don't know what model those Christians think they're following, but I do know this. They are not following the model Christ set for them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. Look what it says. You were continually straying like sheep. You were that way. Look at the idea, continually straying. You won't walk in line. You won't follow. You won't submit. You won't suffer gladly. That's who you were. But look at the verse. You have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. And Peter expects, and Paul expects, and God expects, and Christ expects, that upon that return to that shepherd and that guardian through the born-again power of the gospel, they expect you to have, or that to have had, a profound difference an impact in your life. And where should that impact be seen? Where does Peter expect the impact of your having returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls? Where does he expect that to be in view? In the area of glad submission to all of those that God has placed over you and around you, even as we submit to one another. You see, God, by his work of grace in your life, Christian, by his shepherding you, guarding you, God expects that that seed of grace will produce the fruit of honor and love and glad submission that is worthy of favor when it includes suffering. So let's work on that. And maybe I would say, Tuesday it was marriage, both of you together, and yesterday it was marriage, each of you husbands. Maybe today, as far as we've gone, it's life for all of us together as Christians. It's a life of love and honor and glad submission. Well, ladies, I'm sorry, but tomorrow we'll come back and work on each of you, wives. We're ready now to read chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 and see how it directs your marriage. But that's all for now. We'll talk again soon.